Great day, great day. Great to be here. Great to see you guys. What a powerful thing the resurrection is, and that's what we're going to be talking today about, the power of the resurrection that is available now. Last year Easter was the first time Teresa and I came back to church after the murder of our daughter, and I was a smoldering wick and a bruised reed. We were on life support in the sense of our being. And, all through this year, I've been praying that God would give me back a fire. Give me back something. Light it again. I'm happy to tell you that in the last 4 weeks or so, God has been stirring a fire and a passion again in me. But I'm different. You know, when God... Yeah. Oh, you don't know the half of it. You should have been in this head. I didn't even know who that guy was. And I think that's part of what God does when He delivers us. Sometimes He delivers us immediately and He delivers us out and we are changed. And sometimes the change comes by delivering us through. And when you come out, you are different. And you are different because you see things differently. I am a different person today. And that's part of the struggle in walking with God when He opens the tombs of our life. When He opens the things in our life and he takes us out of something. The hard part is learning how to walk out of that something. And especially when we've been in the fire. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went to the fire, they went in one way, they came out a different way. Their perspective, their understanding of Jesus being with them in that fire is a different thing than believing that Jesus is with you. When He's with you, when you're not with Him. When you don't feel Him, you don't sense Him, you don't get Him, you don't understand Him. And I'm so thankful for the disciples because we're told numerous times in the Gospels that they don't understand what Jesus is doing. They don't understand this guy. And Jesus even twice in John tells them, you don't understand now, but you will later on. That is comforting to me. Because if one of the problems we often have in walking with the Lord is we want to understand why He allows things, understand why He's doing something, understand. We will at some point, but He is in no hurry to explain it. He just says, keep going, keep going. And sometimes we might even need to sit. So I don't just believe in the resurrection of Jesus. I believe in the power of the resurrection. He has power over death, the greatest problem of humanity. You need to understand that Jesus is God. He is God. So is the Father, so is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus had control over the heavenlies. He's never lost that control. But there was a condition that Jesus hadn't conquered, and it was death. And the disease that causes it, sin in His humanity. And those that died before Jesus, they were held in a place apart from Jesus. Even if they believed and they did all the Old Testament stuff and they believed that there was a God, there was a situation that was not conquered. The problem of humanity is death. All of us will experience it. Jesus came to conquer that and the disease that causes it, sin. The word death simply means separation. Sin separates ultimately unto our life. Jesus came to fix that. In fact, Philippians 2:10 tells us this, that after He rose from the dead, His power was now complete over all things. He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, and He came down to do it. It says, listen, that at the name of Jesus, after the resurrection, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth. All knees will bow to the name of Jesus. That name of Jesus is a powerful name. That's why we don't like to use it a lot. You ever notice people trip on the name of Jesus? We even trip on it. How many of us keep our resurrection power kind of cloistered? I don't want to get it out there too much. I don't want to, you know, be that Jesus freak. Well, so what you are saying then is that the fear of people, the fear of rejection, that name is higher than the name of Jesus. You know what happens? God has to take us through stuff to make his name higher than whatever it is that can be named. He's higher than it. And those tombs that you and I walk in, there's lots of fear and shame and rejection and what are people going to think and all that other stuff. I'll tell you what's happened to me in this last year walking through this. One thing is, I don't fear death. I have absolutely no fear of death. If God takes me today, yahoo! I would kind of it be like in my sleep, but I'm willing to go. That is the coolest thing. If he keeps me alive, that's cool too. But you know what? I have lost that fear. That fear no more binds me. I don't fear it for other people. See, some of us sitting in here have great fear about our family members. We have the fear that God's going to reject them because they're not walking like I want them to walk. And so I'm praying, but the fear of rejection by God is way higher. That's what freaks me out. Rather than the name of Jesus against whatever is blocking them, whatever is hindering them, I trust in the name of Jesus to do his work, because he's the resurrected God and every knee will bow to him. Their rebellion will bow to him. I get it. I see it today. And I'm not afraid to preach it anymore. I used to be. See, I get. God is bringing me into balance. So this is about Joe on Resurrection Sunday. I'm humble that way. I shied away from the supernatural because I saw the freaks that I would consider freaks on TV doing stuff that was a turnoff, and I didn't want to be like that. I believe God did the supernatural, but do it in a way that is really low-key and cool. So that I don't get any rejection, don't get any junk. But I did grow and understand the process of maturity. I understand. God has taught me. I have seen it. We disciple it. How people grow and change and mature in Christ. I get that. And what God has been doing, and part of what he's allowed to happen in my life, was to break my fears. And now he's bringing me into this other realm and saying, Joe, you need to be balanced because the name of Jesus is powerful. It can break things that hinder people from maturing because they're in bondage to a tomb of some kind. And I am the God of miracles. I am a God of miracles. I was talking to a guy in first service. He was telling me about, he could relate to me because his sister died and he walked away. But thank God he's been sober for like 30 years or something. He never lost his sobriety. And you know, but he just never sees God do any miracles. I said, You stayed sober when your sister died? Yeah. Do you think that's a miracle? What program are you using? He goes, I never even been a part of a program. Back in the day, I asked God to deliver me from this addiction. He named it, this addiction. I said, well, that deliverance is still holding, isn't it? That's a miracle, brother. You're a walking miracle. And he started crying. Now, I know God's going to do something. He had a revelation. He saw something he didn't see the minute before we were talking. That's how God reveals things to us. He takes us and he has to open our eyes to things we don't see. So now I want to be that balanced guy that walks in the power of the Holy Spirit, walks in the power. So and one of the reasons I don't want to do that is because I'm afraid some people will leave. I don't care. Go to another church. It's a good deal. Go to a church where they don't like any of that. I want that. I want to see people delivered. I want to see people freed of bondages. I want to see that. And then I want to help them grow when they're out of the tomb. It's one thing to be caught in the tomb. It's another thing when God rolls the gate, the stone away. Now you got to... How do we live out here? What do we do out here? That's the hard part. But the hardest part is getting free. And that's what this story is all about. That's what the resurrection is all about. It says, listen, every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Under the earth is where they believe the abode of the enemy is. The abode of the enemies of God. He says everything in heaven bows to him. Everything on earth will bow to him. Everything below will bow to him at the name of Jesus. That means bow means submit. I get it. Okay. And I want it. And I want it. Because we cannot want things. Have you ever had a sin you want to get rid of, but not really? I want to get rid of it, but I keep going back to it. Well, we're going to learn some stuff today. Listen, Christianity of all the religion, it's the only one that points to an empty tomb and says the good news is our founder is alive. Our founder is alive, therefore we live also. We get our bodies back. That is what resurrection means. You were designed to have a body that fits on this earth. You were designed that way. I know some people believe, oh, we're spirits in a physical body. No, you're a spiritual in body. You have a physical body and you have a soul. They're meant to be together. When the physical body dies, that's a tearing of who we are meant to be. And God's going to restore that. In fact, the word resurrection means this, if you can put it up. The word resurrection is a noun. Resurrection means to restore life to its former condition and existence, which means to rise from physical death to physical life, to be revived. A dead person doesn't need medicine. They need to be revived. They need to come back to life. That's our problem. But it's only one of the aspects of what the resurrection does. What's the rest of that say? Which means to rise... Okay, which... Which means to rise from the dead to bring what was dead to life. Let's move forward. So, resurrection means a return to a physical body in a physical universe on a physical earth. That's what resurrection means. Jesus expounds on that. And from the perspective of the Christian and our doctrine, it takes it a step further. Resurrection means an eternal future. For fully restored human beings, fully restored human beings dwelling on a fully restored earth in a fully restored universe connected to a fully united heaven. That is where we're going. That is the deal. Heaven is not our home. The earth is our home. Heaven is what will be connected and they will be spiritually connected, but you are earthlings. Designed by God to have dominion over this place. Name is important. The name of Jesus. You belong to the name of Jesus. What did Jesus say about names? What does Scripture say about names? In Genesis, when he made Adam and Eve, he brought the animals and he said, name them. And whatever you name them, that's their name. When you are praying to God, you pray about a name. What is it you want? What is it you need? What is the name of the problem? Then you bring the name of Jesus over it. That's For anybody, you don't even have to be super smart in theology to get that. It's a power deal caused by the resurrection. It's an amazing thing. It tells us in Ephesians 2:4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, given us what we don't deserve, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, even when we couldn't stop doing what we do. He came in and made us alive in the midst of that death. Some of you came to the Lord today. Some of you have walked away for a while and now you're here. That's a miracle in itself. And then God is doing something. He who might have left him, he didn't leave you. He is rich in mercy. Rich. He is. What's the opposite of rich? Stingy. Poverty. Doesn't have much mercy. I'd like to, but I only got a little bit. I can keep it. He is rich in mercy. For it is by grace you have been saved. He did it because he wanted to. Out of love. Amazing. In fact, resurrection is so powerful that Paul tells us, if Jesus didn't resurrect, we are buffoons to believe it. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15:14, he says this, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. My preaching is useless to you. And I'm a big idiot to stand up here. Now, then it becomes strictly a business, fleecing the flock. And some of you don't know what that means, but it means taking your buck. He says, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. He tells us in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, means worthless. You are still in your sins. Nothing's changed. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. He goes, even those poor fools that believed in Jesus all the way to their death, if there's not a resurrection, then their faith is useless. It's a joke. He says, if only for this life, we have hope in Christ. If only for this life, you're trying to live different. You're trying to live right. You're trying to do right by your neighbor. You're trying to not be a thief, a cheat, a bunch of stuff. And you're trying to be good. He goes, if that's all that this life is about, that's a joke. It gains you nothing. He says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Look at those fools trying to be kind. No. The idea is to get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid. Keep it. He goes, in verse 32, if the dead are not raised, let us eat. This is his conclusion. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do whatever you want. If there is no purpose to any of this, if there is no resurrection, then do what you want. If all you got is this life and you die, do what you want. But then he says this. In verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He's the first one of all the rest of us fruits that are going to be raised up. That would mean something bad in the old days. All the younger guys don't even have any idea what that means. But we are the fruit of the Lord. We will be raised also. Listen. Jesus' resurrection marks the beginning of the restoration that he will complete upon his return. John tells us that we will have a body like his in the resurrection. He has his resurrected body. He took his earthly body. He has it. He carries it. He's in it. That's one of the aspects of Jesus that is mind-blowing, is that he's so identified with us, he has kept his body forever, even though by nature, he's not human. He took humanness on, and he kept it on. It says, dear friends, in John 3:2, now we are children of God, and what we have been has not been made known. What God has actually planned for you is still a mystery. It is still not known to you. What God is doing in your life now, much of it is still a mystery to you. It has not been made known. That made known means revealed. You can't study it through and figure it out. It hasn't been revealed. It has to be processed out. And as you process out, you'll be able to look and see. Even then, it's looking through a glass darkly. He says, listen, and we have not been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. We know this much. When he appears, we shall have a body similar to his, for we shall see him as he is. We shall see his glory, and we will participate at a level of glory in it. In Philippians 3:21, we're told this, who by the power that enables him, by the power, the resurrection power, that enables him to bring everything under his control. That death thing, his resurrection power brought that last little nugget under his control. Will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. In 1 Corinthians 42, so it says, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. This is the end result. The body that is sown, this body that is sown is perishable. It's going to perish. It will be raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. Our body is not honored the way it should be. It is not living up to its honorable design by God to live forever. He says it's been sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body that is connected to the natural body and is a crazy dynamic. And God will make it amazing. But not only that, the creation, this earth, is in a state of decay. He will restore it. The enemy gets nothing. It says the creation itself in Romans 8:21 itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom to live forever and glory of the children of God. Romans 8:22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pain of childbirth. It hasn't been birthed yet. What we see around us is still in the pains of being birthed into what God has for it. Peter tells us he will put a fire to it to cleanse it, and it'll be rebirthed. It'll be a new, but not a recreated heaven and earth. They will be made new. They will be restored. Now these, right up to the present time, he says, all this has been revelation. The disciples, when they were following Jesus, did not grasp this information. This has been revealed by God to John later on, years later. This has been revealed to Paul years later. When they were walking with Jesus, they heard him talk about his death and resurrection. They seen things, but they did not grasp it. They did not get it. In fact, it tells us in Romans 8:23 that Paul wrote, it says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Jesus was the first fruit of the resurrection. Those early disciples at Pentecost were the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. They didn't understand that concept in the sense of the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish. They had received it a little earlier, but there was a change in the dynamic. He goes, and me, I'm the first fruit of this. We also still groan inwardly. That's why you and I, we know Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. We still groan because life beats us up. He says, we still groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. We know that the full redemption seal takes place when we get our bodies back. We're still in process. It's an amazing concept. Awesome. His disciples don't get that. We don't get it. You're hearing me today, but you don't get, we don't get, Paul says, we can't even imagine what God has in store. This is a guy that went to the third heaven and saw things in the heavenlies. that he was forbidden to talk about because people won't get it. Even then. And Jesus, when he was sharing with his disciples numerous times that he was going to go to the cross, Jesus would reply in John 13:7. He says, you don't realize now what I'm saying. You don't get what I'm saying, but you will. You will understand. See, belief and understanding is the big crux, that the big trouble spot we have with God. We believe Jesus. I believed you. I never lost my faith. I stand before you today knowing I'm solid in my faith. Nothing will rock me in my faith. I've been rocked with the worst thing I think I could be rocked with. You all have that too. I know people that say, oh, if God ever did this to my life, I don't think I'd follow God. So what you're saying is, your faith is based on how you perceive something happening or not happening. I get it. But you know what? Your faith will be proven faith when what you don't want to happen happens. And sometimes it will. It just is the way it is. But you will know something about faith, and that faith will increase to where you don't operate in the fears. When we operate in the fear of losing our child, if we ever lost our child, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. That's every parent's fear. Oh my God. If we ever lose our child. If you're married, a fear is, if I ever lose my husband, how would it, you know. Therese tells me all the time, Joe, you can't go first. I go, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm definitely going first. You're not leaving me with those three kids. You're much better at handling them than me. You know, when you face what you think you can't face, something inside of you changes. You grow in something that you never would have grown in if you hadn't had to face it. And your faith takes another level of faithing, if you can say that. And you learn something that, wow, you have greater capacity than you ever thought you had. And then God says, now I want to use that. And so there's all that God does in that resurrection power enables you to increase in what God would have you in our generation. But he tells his disciples the same thing. You guys don't know what's going on, but you will. So we're going to jump ahead, and I want to take us to Luke, to the ladies that loved Jesus. Mary Magdalene, this is really about her. Mary Magdalene was delivered of 7 demons. She saw the power of Jesus over the supernatural. She understood that. But when he died, the power of his own death was greater than the power of his name. She struggled with that. And it says here, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And that's kind of how we are. We believe God's power, then something happens, and we go, well, at least we can spice him up so he doesn't stink. We love him, we'll just try to make the best of the mess, and we'll just try to clean it up a little bit, and I thought God. I believe God. But apparently, we put the name of that thing above it, the name of death, in her mindset was higher than the name of Jesus. So they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. While they were wondering about this, suddenly 2 men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again?" Then they remembered his words. That's an awesome statement right there. They remembered his words, but it didn't sink into belief. How many of us know numerous words of Jesus, but when it comes to believing it, nah, I know his word. His word says that. And you can just check your life. His word plainly says, don't run in that direction. He knows my heart. We get it. We can hear his word. We can hear his word. Now, It says, but when they came back from the tomb, so after they heard this, they came back. They left the tomb to go back, tell the disciples wherever they were all at, what's going on. And they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who said this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. They didn't believe it either, even though they saw Jesus raise people from the dead. The word of Jesus raising himself from the dead, they didn't get he had that much power. And we do the same thing. And what we tend to do is when we don't believe Jesus' name has more power than the name of something else, what we tend to do is spiritualize it. Well, that must mean in the spiritual realm. Yes, I understand in the spiritual realm, Jesus has all the power and everything else. But here on earth, and in my particular situation, you know, I need a job. And Jesus, you know, I don't know if he can bring me the job. I don't know. So I think the best thing I should do is panic. Because the name of Jesus is powerful, but I don't know. I know, isn't it weird how we are? This is God's, these are God's A-team, so I feel better. Then we pick up the story in John 20, because it's great. And John tells us now, after this news was given to them, Peter and John lead the pack back to see the grave. So it says, Peter and the other disciple, John's writing this, he's speaking of himself in a humble way, and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple, John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. First thing John wants us to know that in a foot race, he wins. He is faster than Peter, and he gets there quite early. In fact, he gets there so early, he bends over into the tomb and checks out what everything's going on in there. And then he goes to this. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Why? Jesus is in no hurry. We're the ones that panic in the tombs and running around chaotic. Time to race. Open the stone, roll the stone away. The enemy scatters. He walks out. You know, there's nowhere in Scripture that says Jesus ran in panic. Jesus was baffled by this situation. He's never troubled. And this is what he does. When he takes you out of something, he cleans it up. He cleans it up. He cleans our mess up. The beautiful thing about Jesus that separates him from us is that when he leaves the tomb, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly where he's going. He knows the next steps he's taken. He's got it all planned out. Not like us, when God delivers us from something, we get to that door and go, God. That's why we often go, whatever we God's cleaned up, what do? We mess it back up. That's why it says when God cleans the house and chases out the demons, they go get seven more. Keep the house clean. He says he swept out the house. He sweeps it out. He puts us in order. He's an orderly God. He's a methodical God. He's never out of balance, out of tune. We are not teaching the King of Kings anything. We are not enlightening him. We are not bringing a revelation. You will never bring a revelation to God and he'll go, wow! Even your worst day, God didn't go, I never saw that coming. You may think he didn't see it coming. He does. He knows you. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows what you get locked up in. He knows what you won't use his name against. So you still operate in bondage to it. He knows right now what we hold in our hearts higher than him. Some of us are in bondage to our unforgiveness. We are in bondage to our hate. Well, you know what sharing with Chris earlier today, you know what I regret out of all the things with my daughter, the thing in this year that I regret is not praying specifically against the murder spirit in her husband. I wish I would have prayed that. I wish I would have prayed against that prison he was in. And that was born out of rejection. He couldn't handle rejection. So he wanted to kill that was rejecting him. Which goes to show that he had a whole lot of bondage from other rejections. There was a lifetime of rejection. And that rejection is, rejection for human beings is one of the key bondages we have that lots of things flow off of. We don't want to be rejected. And we've experienced so much, and that's part of sin, is the disconnect. That's why we will hang with anybody, even if they're bad. So, we will chase people who oughtn't be caught. Why are you chasing that person? They shouldn't be caught. Because I can't take the rejection. They're horrible for me, but I'd rather have the horrible with me than be rejected by the horrible. We got to take that stuff captive. Only under the name of Jesus can you do it. Because it's more powerful than you. That's why we need that resurrection power. We have to operate in that which is more powerful than that which keeps us caught up. So it says this. That the cloth had been folded up, and it says, finally the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside, and he saw and believed. The second thing John wants us to know here is that he believed Jesus resurrected before Pete. The other disciple. It says in verse 9, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. John believed. Peter didn't believe he had risen from the dead. He didn't know what was up. John believed, but he didn't understand. That's when your faith really becomes faith, is when you can believe God is good, when you can believe God's got a good plan, when you can believe he's in charge, when he's doing what he wants to do, but I don't understand what's happening. When you can accept and get free of the jail that you have to understand everything, you really get free. When you live in the tomb that if I don't understand, I don't flow with it. If I don't get it, I don't go with it. You are in terrible bondage, my friend. And that's what the enemy's always trying to sow. Question, if you really belong to God, would he allow, let me see here. Would he allow this, that, the other stuff, da, 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 da. Do you really believe? Hey, I don't know what God's doing, I believe. Get behind me, Satan. Because the name of Jesus is higher. So it says this then in verse 11 of that same chapter. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. This is Mary Magdalene. She stood outside. People handle grief in different ways. They had seen an angel. They had been all this. Everybody else left. She could not bear to leave the graveside. She could not be pulled away. That thing in her, that grief, and I get it, was paralyzing to her. And she loved the Lord, and she couldn't be pulled away. And as it says, as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. She wanted to revisit where her Lord was, the one who freed her. Oh, she believed in that power. She believed in that power. Resurrection was a little bit much for her. And she bent over to look in the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." The picture is, she's looking in the tomb, she sees these angels, and then she catches a glimpse of a gardener, but she looks away. And she says, "Hey, listen, Did you take him? She doesn't believe yet. She believes death. The name of death is higher. And then what happens? Jesus said to her, her name, Mary. Boom! She recognized the name of Jesus. Names mean something. Names are identifiers. We need to identify what it is we're afraid of, what it is that terrifies us, what it is that holds us captive. Doubt, addiction, rebellion, fear, anger, jealousy, unforgiveness. And then we pray against that in the name of Jesus. He asked her. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me. So she either grabbed him or was trying to grab him. And I get it, man. If I see one of my kids, and God, I would grab him. I wouldn't want him to leave. So she's got that same passion. And she said, and he says to her, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go ahead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father. Your Father, a name. My God and your God. I am going to my God. I am God and I am going to my God. We are the same. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. What I want to focus on right now is Jesus said, don't hold me. I have to ascend to my Father. That's where he is right now, sitting on the throne in heaven next to his Father. Hebrews 10:12 tells us this. But when this priest, speaking of Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Our Lord, our resurrected God, is sitting in the heavenlies. It tells us later he will put his throne on earth and sit with us. He is the resurrected King. All things are under his name. Listen to what it says. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. What does that mean, waits? Every generation has enemies. And he is waiting and exercising his authority and giving it to his children who also sit with him in that throne, Scripture tells us. He is waiting for you to conquer the enemies. You are not called to be the Christian who keeps it to themselves. I was talking to a guy the other day and he was telling, well, I heard he had said that, you know, I keep my Christianity close to the vest. Why? Well, I'm afraid of what? Oh, what? You're afraid of what? What are you afraid of? What holds a higher place in you? What names hold higher place? I don't want so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. I don't want my parents to persecute me. So their names hold a higher place and Jesus can't deal with that? But you believe he's going to bring you to eternal life and take care of everything. And you're like, oh, sure. Hello. Am I hitting home? Is this getting... This is the cool part. He says, listen, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect. You are perfect in the spiritual realm. While forever, he is working to mature you. When you come into the kingdom of God, you are with him. Then from then he matures you. I get that part. What I am focusing on is the power to the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus, which is above all other names. Why don't we use that? We are connected to him. Listen to what Ephesians 1:18 says. He says, I pray, this is Paul, years later, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. This place of bondage in you will get vision. In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. We inherit all this stuff. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. He has incomparably great power for us who believe. Wow, what kind of power is that? Oh, that power is the same. as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. What does that mean? That means he's higher than every name that can be invoked. What does a name be invoked means? It means every name that can be named, it says in the King James. You name something, the name of Jesus is higher. Name something, name anything, addiction. What is it that you place is higher than the name of Jesus? Well, I want Jesus, I'm broken. Well, Jesus is higher than your brokenness. He can heal your brokenness. How he heals it is however he wants to, but your job is to claim that name as higher than that stuff. And this is the other thing, a tomb was guarded. You know who flew away? The guards. Scripture tells us we have to bind the strong man to rob the house. What has he robbed you in? Bind the strong man. First of all, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spiritual forces, every dominion, every power that holds me caged in this fear, caged, entombed in this unforgiveness, this hate, this fear of people rejecting me. Look at in our day and age, our whole country is ravaged by this fear of rejection. That's why all the races are talking about the other races, and they're against this, and they're against that. There's this fear of rejection. I better fight for my own, because if I don't get my own, I'm going to be held by. Jesus breaks all that. There is no black or white or Mexican or Asian or anything else in the kingdom of God. It's just his kids. God, break me of the fear. So that I can love. Break me of that and loose love into me. Loose forgiveness into me. Break me from unforgiveness and loose forgiveness. Break that door open. Let me out. What is it? What name needs to be invoked? When you pray, pray names. Pray, identify the thing. Oh God, I'm struggling right now. I pray against the struggling I'm dealing with right now in the name of Jesus. What is that struggle? Name it. Oh, doubt, I don't think you can get me a job. I pray against that jail that says, I don't think you can get me a job. And whatever demonic forces speaking that to me, I come against that in the name of Jesus because I invoke that name. Why? Because, listen, Ephesians 1:13 says, you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit who teaches and sanctifies you and leads you into all righteousness. Then he says this, and God invoked. And because of that, Ephesians 2:6 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. You are seated with Christ. So if all that stuff is under his footstool, it's under your footstool. You have to exercise that authority. That power. That resurrection power. Yes, it gives us a new body, a restored earth, but it gives you incomparable power. Amen. You and I were beasts for the kingdom. Yeah. Quit whimpering around. Hallelujah. We're going to go through suffering. We're going to go through trials. That's part of the deal. But this is the deal. They're meant to refine us, make us better. Maybe you have the jail thinking that it's meant to tear me down and destroy me. No, it isn't. He doesn't lose. Everything submits to him. So here's what we're going to do. Stand up for a second. What thing holds you? What tomb keeps you trapped? Is it your fear? If it's a fear, what is the fear? Name the fear. I can't do life alone. I have to have somebody. And I'm so desperate, anybody will do. That's a bondage, my friends. I am so fearful that my family, my loved ones will be rejected by Jesus, that I walk in this panic all the time. The name of Jesus is higher than that. You don't think Jesus can break whatever their rebellion is? I walk in rebellion. I just hate following rules. Well, you're in bondage. Yeah, but daddy was mean. Then you got a daddy jail. You need to come against that daddy jail in the name of Jesus and break the hold it has on you, because it's got a hold on you. Now, see, when that gets broken, now you got to learn to live differently, because sometimes sitting in jail and blaming everybody for why I'm in here is easier. Then I have to deal with the pain, and even then Jesus is greater than the pain, than the pain of what I've lost, the fear of the future. I've been a failure. I live in the jail of failure. What is it? Name it. So I'm giving you a second here to name it. Name one thing. If you got more, name them. Throw out a couple. Bitterness. Anger. What? Fear. Fear of what? Failure. Rebellion. Horrible jails. What? Procrastination. That'll keep you back. What else? Fear of being alone. Inadequacy. Insecurity. How many have that fear? You've been bossing me around forever. Oh, Joe, no. If you're only smarter. If you only look like Chris. If you only... Do I have a sweat mark under here? Because it feels like I do. So we'll be like this. Praise the Lord, everybody. Okay, here we go. Name that fear in your heart, in your mind. And then come against the strong man. It could be generational. Maybe you got some generational stuff going on. You got a lineage of stuff coming down to you from your family, and the strong man has been holding that over your family. So the first thing we do is we bind the strong man. What do they do in the tomb of Jesus? They chase the guards away. The guard's got to be chased. So in the name of Jesus, say that after me. In the name of Jesus, I come against the strong man. Who holds the tomb closed. Of, name it, whatever it is in your thing. And I bind the strong man. And I break the tomb. In Jesus' name, of, name it, whatever that tomb is, name it. I can't go on, whatever it is, you got to name it. And I bind it in Jesus' name, and I loose health, freedom, forgiveness, restoration. I got a poverty thing about me, and everything is I'll never get out of this, but I release prosperity. I move in the realm of freedom in Jesus' name, for his name is above all names. And I have the Holy Spirit, and now I ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach me how to live in that freedom, how to live differently, how to walk differently. And I will follow you by the power of Jesus, who sits on the throne in the heavenlies with all dominion, authority in the heavens, in the earth, and under the earth, under his feet, in Jesus' name. For I am a child of the King. I have a purpose on this earth. And I will reign with God forever. Hallelujah. That is resurrection power. Woo! Woo! Now, deal with the stuff in your life as you go forward. You just got revelation today on something new, perhaps, for you. When that stuff raises up, you come against, name it, come against it. Every name that can be invoked, he is a greater name than that. My Jesus is a greater name than that. Amen? Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day.